The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 18, Text Number 9, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on October 10th, 2017, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Svasti
Astu
Vishvasya
Kala
Pasiditam
Jayantu
Bhutani
Shivam
Mitta
Diya
Mana
Cha
Bhadram
Bhajatat
Aroksyaje
Aveshyatam
Naha
Mati
Api
Ahaituki
Svastiyastu
Vishvasya Kala
Prasidatam
Jayantu
Bhutani
Shivam
Mito
Diya
Manascha
Bhadram
Bhajatam
Vadokshaje
Aveshitang
no
matarapya
hai tuki
Svasthyastu
Vishvasya
Kala
Prasidatam
Jayantu
Bhutani
Shivam
Mitodaya
Manascha
Bhadram
Bhajatanda
Dokshaje
Aveshitang
no
matarapya
hai tuki
Svasthyastu
Vishvasya
Kala
Prasidatam
Jayanta
Bhutani
Shivam
Mitodaya
Manascha
Bhadram
Bhajatanda
Dokshaje
Aveshitang
no
matarapya
hai tuki
So once more the verse.
Svasthyastu
Vishvasya Kala
Prasidatam
Dayanta
Bhutani
Shivang
Mitodaya
Manashta
Bhadram
Bhajatad
Dadokshaje
Aveshitam
No
Matarapya
Haitaki
Bhagavatam
5.18.9.
May there be good fortune
throughout
the universe,
and
may all envious persons
be
pacified.
May
all living entities
become
calm
by practicing
Bhakti Yoga,
for by
accepting
devotional
service,
they
will think of
each other's
welfare.
Therefore,
let us
all
engage
in
the service
of the
Supreme
Transcendence,
Lord Sri
Krishna,
and always
remain
absorbed
in
thoughts of Him. This is the prayer of the preacher. See? Preacher is not only thinking of his own deliverance. The preacher is praying that everyone in this whole world can become Krishna conscious. His life is dedicated to making the whole world Krishna conscious. You can see. May all envious persons be pacified. What does pacified mean? It means become the devotee. Is it possible to be pacified if you're not a devotee? No. Only by becoming Krishna conscious can one overcome envy. You understand? Therefore, the devotee, he prays that let everybody become Krishna conscious. Let everyone be engaged in devotional service. So this is his mood. So what is the result of that mood? Well, at least he becomes Krishna conscious. You see? Isn't he one of everyone? He desires that everyone become a pure devotee of Krishna. So at least he becomes a pure devotee because he's meditating like that, you see? And maybe he'll make a few devotees along the way, you see? Who can make a few devotees? In other words, if this mood of pure bhakti is there, it's magic, it's mystical, actually. Anyone who embraces this mood of pure bhakti will be very, very Krishna conscious, and they'll be successful also in making devotees too. If they can pass on this mood of pure bhakti, then the thing will just keep expanding, and it's possible. At least we can try for it. I mean, Prabhupada did say this movement would go down in history for having saved the world in its darkest hour of despair. And there is the golden era of when it's predicted everyone will become Krishna conscious within this 10,000 year period. So at least let's plant a lot of seeds. If we can't pull off a global spiritual revolution, at least we should plant a lot of seeds so it'll happen in the future, you see. But it could happen at any time. Why not try for it? Why not try to think, speak, and act in such a way that I become a pure devotee and I can influence the whole world to become Krishna conscious? Why not embrace that revolutionary move? It's actually ecstatic. It's very ecstatic move, is it? It's Prabhupada, Krishna Das Kaviraj actually directly states, he says, Shastra yukte suni puna didashada yanra uttama adhikari se taraye samsara. A person who is very, very expert in scriptural knowledge and is also has firm, unflinching faith, didashradya yanra, who has unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, he's called an uttama adhikari, the topmost Vaishnava, and he can actually deliver the whole world by bringing everyone to Krishna consciousness. So Krishna Das Kaviraj says it's possible for a devotee to actually deliver the whole world. So to try to develop this mood, even though right now we're struggling in the Kanishta platform or the Majjhima platform, you see, to try to develop that mood of an Uttamadhikari, a completely pure devotee, is a very good thing to do, you see. Let me strive for pure bhakti every day. Let me think, how can I discipline my thoughts, my words, my deeds in all times, places, and circumstances so it's always totally, completely pleasing to my spiritual master in Krishna. You see? Right now I'm pretty contaminated. Really, it's a fact. I'm a very contaminated person, you see. But I'm hankering for that mood of pure bhakti. Every day I'm begging Krishna, please, my dear Lord, free me from this demoniac, lusty, angry, greedy, envious, lazy, crazy consciousness. You see? If I think I'm a liberated soul, then I'm deluded, you see. Even the liberated souls, they don't think they're liberated souls. Prabhupada said, I'm not perfect, but I'm serving the perfect. Even Prabhupada said he wasn't perfect. So we should always see how much we are imperfect and always pray that we can overcome these imperfections and come to the transcendental platform. That's why to have devotees who correct us and chastise us is very good. In the material world, nobody wants to be chastised, you see. But in spiritual life, Prabhupada says, the student who is more chastised, he is advanced, you see. So one is being some neophyte devotees, like a Kanishta, if they're corrected, they get all angry and start yelling. What do you mean? You see? They start yelling if you correct them. But someone who's a little mature, who's sober, understands the teachings of Krishna consciousness, and they're being corrected or chastised for doing something wrong or having the wrong attitude, they understand this is actually a great blessing. This is a very great blessing. Adwaita Acharya very much hankered to be chastised by Lord Chaitanya, but being his superior Vaishnava, the one who had actually prayed for the advent of Lord Chaitanya, he's very senior. He was already a pure devotee on the planet before Lord Chaitanya even appeared. He, by his prayers, Lord Chaitanya appeared, so he's very, very senior, you see. So he lamented he wasn't getting chastised by the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he started preaching Mayavadi philosophy so he could get chastised. And then he became ecstatic. Ah, now I'm being chastised. Became ecstatic, you see. So we're not so advanced like Advaita Acharya. You start chastising me, you go, What do you mean? And we have that tendency, the false ego, like a volcanic, that eruption starts. As soon as you correct me and tell me I'm doing something wrong, immediately my false ego goes, what do you mean? You see. We have to beat our mind with shoes, you see, in the morning and with broomstick at night. Hey, wait a minute. If I was actually a pure devotee, I'd be seeing Krishna face to face at every minute, you see. But because I'm just seeing the material energy out there, therefore I can understand perfectly well I'm not a pure devotee yet. I just see the material energy out there, you see. I don't see Krishna. Prabhupada told me that letter. Now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. That's pure bhakti, you see. I'm not seeing him, so I got a way to go. So if you're telling me I'm stupid or I'm wrong or I'm an idiot, thank you very much for reminding me of the facts, you see. Thank you for reminding me of the facts. I am a stupid idiot, ignoramus, you see. Asinine, ass-like person, you see. Because I can't see Krishna. Gopina Mamani Vedana Shuno Vishayi Durjana Sada Kamarata Kichunahi Modaguna Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He says, I'm a materialistic rascal. I'm always full of lust. Kichu nahi moda guna. I don't have even any good qualities at all, you see. So, oh, Gopinath, please save me. You see, Gopinath, Gopinath. This is a pure devotee, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is fully qualified to see Krishna. Yet he's presenting himself as a rascal, a demon. With no good qualities. So Bhaktivinoda sings like that. How should we should be thinking about ourselves? Do you understand? I should be thinking, I have no good qualities. Kichu nahi mara guna. I have no good qualities. Simply asaram bhav. The atheistic nature of demon. So the more we have this mood, this humble mood, tanada pisa nichena tarara pisa hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should think himself lower than the straw in the street. He should be more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others without even demanding the slightest tinge of respect for himself. In such a state of mind, one can go on chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, for millions and billions of years and never get tired of it, you see. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. So, I have to think I'm really contaminated, I'm really low, you see. This morning a god brother said, oh, Sankarshan Prabhu, your Bhagavatam class here today was so nice. I really appreciate it. I said, well, even though I'm very contaminated, I'm just trying to purely present what I've learned from my spiritual master. I explained like that to him. So we should feel I'm very contaminated. Very contaminated. Now, an outsider would think, what is this nonsense? These people are being taught to think they're contaminated. What kind of nonsense movement is this? But this is a very high level spiritual science of how to achieve the perfection of consciousness to liberate you from the cycle of birth and death. It's not some cheap thing, you know, that's, they're just bashing people or something like that. The gurus are bashing everyone. You're a rascal, rascal, rascal. Something like that. Actually, I see you all as great saints. That's my vision of you, great saints. I see all the devotees as great saints. Different levels. Anyone who's come, Krishna consciousness, even they still have bad qualities, those bad qualities will not be there forever. They will go away, you see. Scooch in a little bit. Squeeze a little tighter. Even one has so many bad qualities, they're puffed up, they're greedy, they're envious. The fact that they've come to this movement, they're chanting Hare Krishna, they're considered saintly. Even Prabhupada was asked one time in Golden Gate Park, Swamiji, how many pure devotees are there on the planet? Prabhupada said, how many devotees are there in ISKCON? So, even though Prabhupada was seeing all of his followers as pure devotees, devotees, one should think, one should not think, well, Prabhupada said I'm a pure devotee, so I must be a pure devotee. The more you can feel fallen, that's your purity. The more you can feel Gopinath Mama Dima Dindashuna. That's how purity is in. The more you feel lower than the straw on the street, so cultivate humility. The more you can cultivate it, the more Krishna will become your personal property. Prabhupada says, I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. You understand? To whatever extent you give yourself to Krishna, to that extent Krishna becomes your personal property. You see? If you give yourself to Krishna 1%, you see, you don't get much Krishna. You get 10%. Prabhupada said Krishna gives 10 times reciprocation. Give yourself 1% to Krishna, you get 10% of Krishna, you see. According to that logic, even if I give myself 10% to Krishna. But that's a lot, 10% to Krishna. And Krishna will fill in the missing gaps. You see. What is that sloka? He says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. So I know personally I'm lacking in so many ways. So many ways I'm lacking, big time. But if I can just stay focused, I have no devotion. All of my devotion goes to Guru and Krishna, and that's it. Just keep beating my mind with shoes, you see. Keep beating my mind with shoes. Sometimes we have to trick our minds. Also, that's another one. Today I had an interesting experience. I woke up very, very early. And I thought, well, I'm really tired, but I chant rounds and then I do some slokas, Brahma Samhita and then Bhagavad Gita. So I think, well, I'm really tired, so I'll go ahead and chant my rounds and I'll take rest again. So I finish my rounds and think, well, okay, I'll just do the Brahma Samhita and after that I'll take rest again. I told my mind, the first thing I told him, my dear mind, go ahead and chant your japa and then you can take a nap when you finish your rounds. But then I got that, tell you what, we'll do Brahma Samhita and then we'll take a nap. Then I said, okay, mind, now you might as well just go and do Gita because it's, by the time you finish that, it'll be time to get ready for Mangal Arati. So sometimes we have to trick our minds, It's like Haridas tricked that prostitute, You know that story, how he tricked the prostitute? I think everyone knows. Haridas was chanting, 23 and a half hours a day. He took a half hour for bodily maintenance. And he was a Muslim, and so the Muslims were in political power, and so to have one of their Muslims become one of those Hare Krishnas, it was pretty disturbing. Not just a Hare Krishna, but a famous Hare Krishna that everybody was worshipping. It was too much for the Muslims, they couldn't take it. One of our own has become a Hare Krishna. So they sent a prostitute to make him fall down, a beautiful young girl. It wasn't like one of these sleazy horrors nowadays, but very high, very attractive young girl, you see. They sent her to make him fall down.
They tried it.
Huh?
Wasn't the story like the Indian Brahmanas, they didn't like it and they reported about him?
Well, they were also complaining, yeah. The Brahmins didn't like it either. So no one liked it. Except the people in general, but the political leaders and the caste conscious Brahmins didn't like it either. So anyway, the young girl comes and he says, oh, my dear lady, will you kindly sit here? He understood why she had come for sex. And he said, will you just sit here? Yeah, as soon as I finish my rounds, then we can have sex. No problem. Just let me finish my rounds first. So he was chanting all night, chanting. She fell asleep, In the morning, he said, my dear lady, I apologize so much. I didn't quite finish my chanting. If you come tonight I will satisfy you. You see, you come tonight. So again, the second night, the same thing. Chanting. No, and then finally she falls asleep. Same thing. Now for two nights I've disappointed you. This third night I guarantee you I will definitely satisfy your desire tonight. You please come again tonight. So that night she's hearing the holy name for so many hours. Finally she starts mimicking, Hare Krishna. She starts mocking me. She starts chanting with them, But then that mocking chanting turns into pure chanting. And she realized, What am I doing? I'm trying to pollute this saint. She just had tears in her eyes. She fell down in great feelings of regret. She fell down and took shelter of his lotus feet and became his disciple. So just as he tricked that prostitute, sometimes we have to trick our minds, you know. Our mind's like a prostitute sometimes, you know. It's much sense gratification, you see. Yes, my dear mind, just let me finish my rounds and then we'll have some sense gratification. Then you finish, well, my dear mind, now it's time for Mangalarti. After Mangalarti, you can have some sense gratification. Oh, now, my dear mind, it's time for Tulsi worship. So after Tulsi worship, then we can have some sense. You know, in this way, you see, we can trick our minds. The mind's grabbing, wanting some material thing. You just be patient, my dear mind. It'll satisfy you a little later on. In this way, we can conquer the minds. So maybe there's some questions. I can try to answer them now. We have a few minutes left. Yeah.
Srila Gurudev, it's explained that the pure devotee has no propensity to criticize others.
That's right.
So why is it sometimes the acharyas, especially Srila Prabhupada, we hear that he strongly criticizes?
Yeah, why, if the acharya has no propensity to criticize, why he criticizes? That he does that not out of a fault-finding mood, but out of love to help that person become liberated from their entanglement in material nature. See, normally we criticize out of false ego. But the pure devotee, the advanced devotees, you see, they criticize out of love because they want to help that person. Just like a doctor. If a doctor tells all the patients, oh, my dear patient, you're so healthy today. You're very healthy. Is that a good doctor? No. My dear patient, you have this disease. And you have to treat it. By the way, you're going to die. You see, that's not a pleasant thing to hear. So the spiritual master and advanced devotees, they're like the doctor, you see. They have to tell the patient the reality that you have this sickness and this is what you have to do to get free. That's not out of fault-finding propensity. That's a service. That's a duty for the acharya and advanced devotees to point out the defects in the juniors so they can make progress.
So isn't it also said that Mahabharata doesn't have any propensity of to see the faults, but to help others, they come down to the second level, Madhyamadhikari.
Precisely correct. The Uttamadhikari doesn't even see faults, but for the sake of preaching, he comes down to the Majjhima platform to point out the faults. Let's describe that in Prabhupada's books. That's it. Next.
Do we have any descriptions on how an Uttamadhikari does that? I mean, it must be.
How Uttamadhikari what?
How he goes down to that platform and being able
to. Yeah, he sees the faults. See, Uttamadhikari, he sees everyone as a pure devotee except for himself. He sees himself to be the lowest snake. But for the sake of preaching, he comes down, he distinguishes, here's a demon, here's a devotee. He distinguishes. Although, on the Uttama platform, everyone's a devotee, every living entity is a pure devotee except for me. But he distinguishes on the Majjhima platform. Next.
I hear that we shouldn't show our humbleness for the public people. So maybe you can explain this.
We should not show our humbleness to the public. Like we shouldn't bow down to the spiritual master in the airport, kind of a thing. Well, I can tell you, when Prabhupada came to the airport, we all bowed down and it was ecstatic. And Prabhupada did not correct us. Some people say, well, don't bow down in public. They think we're weird. But when we bowed, 300 devotees offered dandavats in the airport. And Prabhupada did not correct us. So I take Prabhupada's example, you see. He didn't correct us. If it was wrong, Prabhupada said, oh, don't offer obeisances in the airport. But he didn't say that. We all offered obeisances and Prabhupada accepted it. We always offered obeisances when Prabhupada came to the airport. He never corrected us, ever. So why some new philosophy? I don't know. There's some of these new philosophies come, like earrings also is a new philosophy. When I joined, I had an earring. I was a hippie songwriter, right? Singer. I had my earring, you know. I even got a pierced ear to prove it. So I was told it was Maya to get rid of it. So I accepted that. And was that fanaticism? Well, you know what Prabhupada said? He said, you have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnu Janu Swami. So if I take that as, you know, There's so many inventions now in our movement. Earrings are good. Offering obeisances in the public is bad. I stick to the way Prabhupada introduced this movement. I don't like these new ideas, new inventions. I want to stick to the way Prabhupada trained us. That's my move. Next. Yeah.
We are going after to please the people. We are going after the beard, breaking the principle, wanting to wear different styles of clothing and all kinds of things.
Divorces.
But our movement is a Sankirtan movement, and now that one thing about offering obeisances, but they stop Sankirtan in the public areas.
Oh, no, no Sankirtan in the public either. How we can say that? Where did that happen? Oh, in Bulgaria, we were told not to do. Devotees were told not to do kirtan at the airport. Every time we arrived, they do a kirtan. Everybody loved it. Even the police were smiling. And then the temple management said, "No more kirtan at the airport." I can't understand this stuff.
They told the police.
They told the police. The temple president called the police and told the police to stop the kirtan. Can you imagine? It's like the caste conscious Brahmins telling the Muslim leaders to stop Hare Das. I mean, I can't imagine what's going on in a movement when these things happen. I can just pray that somehow or other these nonsense mentalities that are going on in our movement can go away, and we have full solidarity, and that we can actually make this world Krishna conscious, not that all these ego trips, power trips going on. You see. Next. They said there's someone else who didn't ask it. Yeah.
Is with tricking the mind, like, yeah, just do this and that, then you can get some such gratification. Like, the mind is listening to this. The mind knows that it's going to get cheated.
That's cool. If the mind agrees, then you're making an advancement.
Doesn't always.
This morning I felt so out of it, I was really thinking I would take a nap after I finished my round. But then I said, no, I could do the Brahma Samhita. It really happened to me. My mind was really out of it. But I tricked the mind. Krishna gave me the intelligence how to trick my mind, even though I was actually thinking that way, but I tricked the mind, ultimately. Yeah.
You mentioned this consciousness of the preacher, and we should at least try to pray for pure devotional service. But is it also an acceptable preliminary step to just kind of like try to do our sadhana properly to become purified?
What is proper sadhana? Proper sadhana is a pray for pure bhakti. What does the Hare Krishna mantra mean? My dear Lord, my dear energy of the Lord, please engage me in your pure devotional service. We're begging for pure bhakti when we chant our japa. The thing is, whatever you beg for, you get. If you beg for spiritual things, you will get them in due course. That's the fact. If I just think, well, I got to get my rounds done because the guru said I have to chant my 16 rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I'll get my rounds done, now I can do this. No, but if you actually take it as an opportunity to beg for the mercy of Krishna and Radharani to please bless me with pure bhakti, intensely begging, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Your rounds will be a lot more ecstatic. You'll actually taste sweet, sweet nectar when you chant your japa. It'll be like, wow. And you'll have a tremendous, like a volcanic eruptions of realizations from within your heart coming up. So, yeah, you had one. And it's on this side, yes.
You were talking about being humble, and many descriptions saying warm in the soul and these things. How to understand we have still a capacity, and how to use that capacity and remain humble.
What she's saying, Devi?
You say you have to become humble and all that. So how to then get that capacity to become humble? How to get the capacity to become humble.
You beg for the capacity to be humble. My dear Lord, right now I'm puffed up like anything, and I just don't know how to be humble. So please, my dear Lord, bless me with the capacity that I can learn how to be humble. If you beg for the capacity, Krishna will give it to you. Whatever spiritual thing you need and you desire, you know you need it, just beg for it regularly. You just beg. Krishna, you think Krishna can't hear your prayers? Krishna, you are a very, very dear, intimate associate of Krishna. Krishna is very much lamenting that you're caught up in the cycle of birth and death for millions and billions of lifetimes. Krishna wants you back to his abode. You cannot even begin to imagine how much he wants you back to his abode. So if you understand the science of bhakti, what you need to develop the proper mood of pure devotion, you can see how far you are from actually having it, and you're regularly, if not constantly, begging Krishna to help you come to that state of consciousness, do you think he won't reciprocate? He will definitely reciprocate with you. He'll be so pleased. Oh, this soul has been so dear to me, but she's caught up in karma, and now she's begging to be released. Let me give her all help, all facility, all intelligence, everything she needs to get out of this rat race that she's caught up in as soon as possible. You understand? Okay? Everybody can become a pure devotee. You just got to beg for it. If you beg for something else, you get something else. If you beg for pure bhakti, you will get pure bhakti. And when you get pure bhakti, Krishna becomes your personal property. You become the virtual owner of everything in existence when you fully surrender to Krishna. There's nothing that you can be lacking in any way. Nothing. Yes?
When I get praise, and I pretend to be humble even though I'm not inside, is that a good thing?
What's he saying? What's he saying?
He was saying when he gets praised, he pretends to be humble, even though he's not really humble. Pretends to be humble.
That's good. You're understanding. You can understand that you have Hollywood humility. That's good. You understand that. So now you can beg Krishna, my dear Lord. I'm faking humility now. Please bless me. I can have real humility, not just fake it, faking it. Then beg Krishna for the understanding. My dear Lord, I don't understand the difference between genuine and fake humility, so please bless me. I can understand what is actual humility, so I can actually cultivate actual humility. If you understand you have the difficulty, it's very good. You have that realization that you're faking humility. Now, beg Krishna to help you make that fake humility genuine humility. You understand? The point is, these prayers really work. If you see the defect in yourself, you constantly ask Krishna to help you overcome them. Yeah.
Srila Gurudev, this prayer by Prahlad Maharaj, that's
yeah.
a prayer for the whole universe and for their welfare. I'm thinking sometimes when we preach and try to cultivate individuals, try to bring them to the point of surrender, then is it more beneficial to make it like targeted prayer that Krishna, please bless this soul, please engage this particular soul that I'm
trying. You can definitely pray for this particular person that you're trying to cultivate. But I like this prayer because if you pray the exact words of great liberated souls, there's great power in them. I also make my own prayers. But this prayer coming straight from the lotus mouth of Prahlad Maharaj, you can't imagine how powerful it is. So in this prayer, you can do both. I recommend do both. You can pray for that individual. But if we don't study and know the mood of these prayers, we'll end up, our own prayers can be polluted. Prabhupada actually said how a neophyte devotee should not make his own prayers. He should simply repeat the prayers of the acharyas. You see? But when you actually understand the mood of the acharyas, then you can make your own prayers. But a neophyte may start praying in ways that are not actually pure. That's why, unless you've studied and really understand the mood of the acharyas, it's why it's better to pray these prayers, the shikshastakam prayers. We have so many prayers by good acharyas. You have to be well schooled in the prayers of these liberated souls. And then you can, in that mood, you can also pray. You must be careful.
So if I find myself in the situation that I want to pray for a particular soul, would it then be better to just take up this prayer, for example, and pray for the whole universe?
This prayer includes everyone. It's very powerful. It's a really powerful prayer, and it's right from Prahlad Maharaj's mouth. It's right in the Bhagavatam. I recommend this prayer. Learn the Sanskrit and the English, or the Danish, and pray this prayer. Why pray for one where you can pray for everyone? You see? Prayer is like a billion times more bang for one person. You can see how does Lord Chaitanya, of course he is praying, his father is included. He's particularly mentioned he was praying for his father's deliverance, but he did it by praying for the deliverance of all the envious persons. You see, the purport Prabhupada is saying how he was praying for his father's deliverance. But how did he do it? He prayed for the deliverance of all, which included his father. It's an interesting point. Next.
Srila Gurudev, when you give the analogy of a doctor, going to a doctor or a physician so that they can get the cure, what if someone is not ready to approach even a doctor, or in this case, a devotee, or is not having willingness, even the devotee is trying to help, but the person is not willing to take that help?
It's difficult. Even recently, there was one disciple that was very offensive to Guru Mata, and this disciple didn't even show up for class today. So I know what you're talking about. What can I do for that person? That person doesn't even want to come in here, is it? All I can do is say, may all envious persons be pacified. You see? So, yeah, it's very difficult. Sometimes devotees, they have a Kanishtha mentality. They don't like to be corrected. They don't like to be directed. They just want to be independent. What can you do? You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't force them to drink. You just have to hope and pray that such persons can realize that they need to hear and be humble, which is all we can do. And just hope, because otherwise they'll take birth again. Any person who has not learned humility, they will take birth again. They won't go back to God. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other question? Yeah.
So this question will be in addition to my last question. So, for example, we are preaching and I'm saying for people that I'm so fallen, like more fallen than the worm in the stool. So they will not accept, and they will think, "Oh, this person."
If they,
they can not accept this because people are wanting that some high person who has big education.
The thing is, no. But in your heart, you should think you're lower than the worm in the stool. But for preaching work, get a load of this quote from Prabhupada. He said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. In preaching, that you do. That's majjam. Uttama thinks I'm lower than the stool, dog stool. That's Uttama consciousness. And that's great for within your heart. But externally, you have to act as a majjam. Here is a demon. Here is a devotee. I smash the demon. I glorify the devotee. You have to be a demon kicker. Prabhupada said, kick in the face with boot. Actually, in a minute, Prabhupada, they have what they call a missing link in biology, right? Missing link in evolution. Prabhupada said, he said, no, the missing kick. I kick on their face about their missing link. So, for preaching, you kick in the face with boot. That's the mood for preaching, you see. You come to Majjhima, preaching, you act as a Majjhima. Uttama is within your heart. For Majjhima, you can cultivate Uttama consciousness within your heart. But for preaching, you are Majjhima. Smash those demons, you see. Prabhupada said, go village to village, town to town, and make Digvijaya. There is God. I can prove there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on! Like that. That's a preacher, you see. Digvijaya. Majjhima Adhikari, yeah.
But how would you say that when Prabhupada Ananda says what he talks and says, you bow down and glorify them 100 times, and then...
Say, my dear... He said, the preaching method taught by Prabhupada, a great sadhu who lived here in Vrindavan, Prabhupada Sarasvati, he said, here's the preaching method. You go to the materialist, of course it's within Indian culture also, where they do bow down. In Western culture, it's different. He said, you bow down on their feet, you flatter them 100 times. My dear sir, you're so glorious, you're so virtuous, you're so intelligent, you're so magnanimous, you're so pious, you have such a beautiful, you dress so nicely, you have such a nice house, your children are very well educated, you have all facilities, you have such nice cows, you have such nice bulls, everything about you. My dear sir, I ask you, please, all this nonsense you have learned about material life, please forget it and accept Bhagavad Gita. You flatter them 100 times and then you ask them to forget all their nonsense and accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was in Indian culture. Now in the West, we don't bow down. You're not going to go to bow down at somebody out on the street. Although there is a book distributor who does that. He actually gets down and begs. I forget his name. I think it's Bhuti, maybe it was Bhuti Manta Prabhu. There was some incredibly empowered book distributor, one of the original book distributors. He used to like get down and beg the people. And he was very successful in distributing books. So if you can get bow down and get him to take a book, do it, by all means. If you can pull it off, you know. I think it was Bhuti Manta. He's one of the originals. You see, in the old days, there was no book distribution. Harinam, going on Sirtan, said, okay, let's go on Sankirtan. That was Harinam. It wasn't called Harinam, it was called Sankirtan. And all we can do is sell Back to God in magazines, nothing else, for a quarter. No one would ever pay for a book. We didn't even distribute books when I first joined. I was called the temple book distributor because I put the books in bookstores. I was called the book distributor. Selling out on the street was unheard of. It was impossible. But then one day in San Francisco, they had some Krishna books that had just been printed. They came back from Harinam Sankirtan, and they didn't have any money for gas, so they thought, well, maybe we can convince the attendant to take a book for a tank of gas, and they did. And they said, wow, but I think we can sell these books. So I think Bhuti Manta was one of the originals, but it took off like a rocket. Prabhupada says, whatever temple does more books, I will go and do my translation work there. And talk about competition. Whoa! It took off like a rocket. I remember one of these book distributors came to Miami. We were out in Harinam, and the book distributor was on the other side of the street. And we saw him distribute a Krishna book. And we were amazed to see it happen, you know. Wow! He sold a book. And this devotee sold a book, and he was jumping up and down in ecstasy. He sold a book. It was an amazing time in ISKCON. Book distribution was just starting to take off like a rocket, and it was amazing. It was a really amazing thing.
No, 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
Huh? 18-wheeler was going around.
Who was it?
18-wheeler.
Oh, yeah, they had an 18-wheeler. You know, these big, huge trucks with 18 wheels going around to all the temples with the books from L.A. The 18-wheeler pulled up, and the books were just going out like, it was amazing, like bombs, dropping bombs in World War II, you know. The amazing book distribution era took off. Prabhupada was so pleased. Wow, it's amazing. Any other questions? Yes, this is the last one.
Should I read it, this aggressive style of preaching, shouldn't it be tempered or balanced with like some type of, people like to see compassionate work, that attracts people also, right? So they want to see.
Absolutely.
We go feed people.
Prabhupada says like this, the acharya is as soft as a rose and as strict as a thunderbolt. Yes. He's like a rose, you know, flowering your thumb, and then he, both things. It's a balance. Whatever works. You can see Prabhupada was very, very charming. You study these conversations, Prabhupada is very, very charming. Very, very sweet. Sweeter than the sweetest honey. It's a combination of both. According to time, place, and circumstance. Prabhupada, the advanced devotee, is expert to know when to be heavy and when to be sweet. Both things are there.
Isn't ultimately our message is quite heavy?
Huh?
The message is very heavy.
Yes, it's very heavy, but we candy coat the bitter pill with all kinds of gulab jamuns and rasagullas. And we candy coat them. And they say it's like bitter medicine. It's a bitter medicine. Give up sense gratification. You're a rascal. You've been defying the authority of God for millions of lifetimes. You're really a rascal, you know that? You're a rascal. You've been fine, but we candy coat the bitter pill with all, and make it very sweet. Ah, very nice. Like Prabhupada said, my godbrother, Nanda Kishore, asked Prabhupada, see the Prabhupada? What happens when we give somebody a simply wonderful on the street? Prabhupada said, he will take that wonderful sweet and he will come to your temple and he will become simply wonderful. He said, Krishna is simply wonderful. This process of Krishna, of Krishna consciousness, is simply wonderful, and you are all simply wonderful. And then Kirtananda Maharaj said, Prabhupada is simply wonderful. And Prabhupada said, that's all right, have kirtan. So that was, you can see it was very, very sweet. All kinds of poetic sweetness was there with Prabhupada. He was very heavy, but it was so sweet, it was so nectarian, you would just, your heart would melt, you see. Your heart would melt. I mean, Prabhupada, I can look at the letters I got, they're all very encouraging, but when I had to be corrected, Prabhupada would correct me, you see. He would correct me. That time I wrote him a letter about having more time to read. Prabhupada said, so much study without practice will become dry and useless. Prabhupada told me straight. We're not just flattered. You see. We encourage people and also we point out the faults. You see. We give all encouragement. But actually, you're one of Krishna's eternal associates. Do you know that? You are an eternal associate of Krishna and he misses you like anything right now. He wants you back in his abode. But you've been such a rascal for so many lifetimes. And you're still a rascal. That's why you're not seeing him yet face to face. You see? This is an example. I've encouraged you, you're an eternal associate of Krishna. I've also told you you're a rascal because that's why you're not qualified to see him right now. Right now your eyes are covered with the cataracts of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Your eyes are polluted because your heart is polluted. You understand? So I'm getting very heavy with you, but at the same time giving you all encouragement. Don't cheat yourself any longer. You're one of the eternal associates of Krishna and his divine pastimes. What are you doing rotting in this world, just thinking that you're the body? When are you going to wake up and come under this illusion? Why are you cheating yourself, you stupid idiot? You see? See how I'm being encouraging, I'm also being chastising. Both things. There's a balance. To be chastised by the spiritual master is a great blessing. It actually frees you of so much dirt in the heart. Well, a preacher also, going on preaching the same principle. You're acting as a guru for that person when you preach to them. Everyone's ordered to be guru. Guru means heavy, isn't it? Literally, the word Sanskrit word guru means heavy. So, preaching means you're supposed to be heavy when it's necessary. You're supposed to be heavy. Not just flattering. It's supposed to be heavy. Lord Chaitanya ordered to become guru. Everyone's supposed to become guru. The father's supposed to become guru. The mother, even the friend. If you're not helping someone to become Krishna conscious, you're not their friend even. You see? So that you understand. So it makes sense. Okay, well, we'll stop here. And what's the next program, Devi? We have Prasadam to pass out. The next program is at 3 o'clock, Devi. 3 o'clock Bhagavad Gita class here.
Not program.
Huh?
And just give freedom those who are interested in here.
Yeah, it's not forced, it's optional. If you don't want to come, you don't have to come. But if you'd like to come, I guarantee you it's really nectarian. Guru Mataji's Bhagavad Gita class is in the afternoon. And then at 6:30 there'll be the Dhammadharashtakam. Okay, now I gotta break these up. So we'll stop here.
If you're coming, then come at 3 o'clock. Don't
Come 3 o'clock sharp if you're going to come. Don't come. Everybody here, those who want to come, come here at 3 o'clock sharp. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mataraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gura Prima Nandi.
Mahagurudev.